All right, the game's all here again. Back at it, Joe Rose, John Kajemi, Kimbo Camper, giving you another Sterling podcast. I'm still trying to figure out the hell is a podcast.
This is the only one I do. That's all
that's
I know.
It?
Yeah,
I ain't doing a lot of podcasts except
one,
right here.
It's the only
here.
One I do, and it's the only one I listen to.
It's the only one we're signed up for, Bo.
I don't know. I should probably start scanning the podcast world and listen to more.
Don't worry. Everybody does a podcast now.
Yeah,
everybody.
You can have a phone and you can have a little privacy area and go do your podcast.
Do your own
podcast.
I was
just looking through something yesterday, just kind of going through some stuff, and I see Greg Cosell.
Yeah.
He's a big podcast. They got a big roll out of his podcast. Everybody got a podcast. I just don't know where you – well, I know where you find them, but I need to delve
That's
in a
right,
little
man.
Bit more.
We won't worry about the podcast. No. We'll worry about the information.
I'm gonna delve in a little more. Hey, guys. Mini camp wraps up, and it's kind of become a little tradition. You know, these guys have been through OTAs. They've been here for a long time, going through off-season conditioning.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Excuse me.
Most podcasts, you don't get that.
You don't have to edit that, Logan. Let's keep it live. Let's keep it live and real.
And you got sprayed. You can't beat that.
You got a little bit of, you know.
Can you pass that Jameson, please?
Whatever you do, don't sneeze and ruin our podcast, bro. All right? But anyway, it's kind of come a tradition where that last day, everyone's been through. It's been a grind for some of these guys, especially the college kids that came right out of their season, went right in to start working out for whether they were going to combine or not, getting themselves ready for pro days, combine, all those things, and then boom, right into it. So they haven't had a break. They really haven't had much of a break since going back to last August. So I'm sure they're nice. So anyway, coach gives them the last day of the mini camp off.
Well, I tell you what, it's a lot of learning and being at minicamp the last couple of days.
There's some learning to be done.
You could tell the veteran guys that have been here that are going full speed, aren't thinking about anything, been in this offense and defense, and then all the new guys stand out like a sore thumb, not sure where to line up, going about half speed because they're thinking instead of just playing.
Yep.
And so that's what this is for, man. Learn it. They've been in the teaching rooms and going through position stuff with their coaches.
Yeah.
But it's different getting out there and making adjustments with some guy over you.
Would you guess, Sean, that some of these guys, in particular the rookies, may want to say, well, look, I think I'm just going to stick around here in South Florida until training camp rolls around?
I think so. I mean, why not? You know, people are saying, I'm going here for vacation. I'm going there for vacation. A lot of people live where other people vacation, right?
They're vacation.
And their
right
job's
here.
On the line,
yes.
Most importantly. And to Joe's point, you could absolutely tell when Ryan Tannehill and the first group are in a huddle and they break or they're on the ball and they're going hurry up and the communication's really flawless. Defense the same way. Now the twos and threes come out, and Bryce Petty is trying to get everybody back in the huddle after they've been on the line of scrimmage because everybody's looking at each other going, where do I line up? Where do I go? So I do think that some of these young guys, they may go home for a week.
And then come back early, get
back in the classroom, get back in there because there's nothing, as Joe said, perfectly. There's nothing that can emulate or kind of go out on the field and go through at full speed.
Yeah.
You can't do that in the classroom. You can learn it. Things you can get tag names. You can remember keys that'll help you remember plays and tags on certain things. But to actually do it when the clock's running and you're under pressure and you're trying to figure out where to line up, let alone what coverage it is and how my route adjustment changes after the ball snapped. There's a lot of thinking going on. You could feel the smoke coming out of a lot of helmets out there.
Let me ask you both this. Because you're offensive guys. You've lived in offensive huddles. I haven't lived in offensive huddles. But when I listen to things now, when I hear coaches talk about plays, man, I just think, it's not just the Dolphins. I think everybody's in this mode now. The play calling is so wordy these days.
It is.
You know? It's very long, very wordy. I mean, back in the day, it was like, you 237, and then you throw the route numbers out or something. You know, it's quick, short, and every
number. We weren't very smart guys. It was simple.
No.
70 halfback short option.
Yeah, exactly.
90 takeoff, 86 go. So, that was it.
And so you get them, and you basically get the blocking scheme, and you get routes, right?
Yeah,
that's basically it. Now you listen to it, it's the words, it's just so, and I wonder if that makes it difficult for some of these guys that are coming in, you know, trying to jump over the hurdles of the terminology and keep getting tripped up. Does that have something to do with it?
What makes it more difficult, and I guess it does, and what makes it more difficult is when you come from a university that has a board with four pitchers on it,
right,
and you've got eight guys signaling to eight different people on the sidelines. I have one person signaling to the wide receivers side.
Yeah.
Now I've got another coach signaling to the receivers on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I've got somebody going to the offensive line and giving them their protection. So as a quarterback, I'm not doing anything.
Right.
I'm looking at the play that I'm getting from the sidelines. Lineman has the protection. Wideouts have the routes.
Yep.
Back has his read on too hot from the weak side. I'm blocking here. I'm hot here.
Yep.
They have all that taken care of. So now you come to the NFL and you've got, you know, shift to Seminole right.
Yeah, right.
Tag it with another thing. And then you've got something in the middle to say, that's really a dummy call.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to kill it and give you another call at the line of scrimmage or call two plays at once.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things going on that guys are not up to speed with yet. So it's hard to evaluate the new players that are here. You can say, hey, that guy runs well, that guy catches the ball well, but you can't tell me if he was right on that play or not because you don't know. He doesn't know.
Right.
Yeah. I can just remember coming in. And you know, they drafted me as an outside linebacker. I had never played linebacker in my life. So I'm just becoming new to – I had never covered anybody in my life. So I come out here, and we run – and I remember the first coverage we put in was our one coverage. One coverage, if I'm on the strong side, tight end side, I got to get out to the O-cut, and I got to get the short out – I got to be the short outside guy. If I'm on the weak side, I got the weak back man-to-man. I remember those things, yes, you know, all that. Yeah, but so I remember the first time. So Bill Arnold goes, all right, you go to the shoulder. Okay, and so it's a zone. It's a combo. It's a man to man zone coverage. So snap the ball. I see the quarterback back. So I sprint out to the short outside, and I sit there and I stop, and they throw the ball like over my head a little bit, and Arnold goes, damn it, what you doing out there? I said, well, I got to where you told me. He says, but you got to do something once you get there. You can't just sit there and set up camp, man. You got to do something, you know?
Yeah, just a little
bit. So I'm just like, I got out there, man. I'm out there. You know, but then you get out there, then you go.
You got to make something happen.
Yeah, but so it's sometimes stuff like that's elementary, but all I remember is I had so much crap going on through my head at that time. That I was just I'm just happy to have got out to where I was supposed to be, you know? It's a massive overload, man. Especially, like you said, when both these sides of the ball are running the same terminology, guys that have been here have been through the system, so they're just continuing on with what they already know. They're just stacking more knowledge on top of knowledge, where these rookies, they're getting the basic stuff out there. So, yeah, it's going to take a while for these guys, but
It's fun sometimes, though, even though you know the young guys, even veterans, sometimes you're going to have, you know, mental errors or breakdowns or mistakes. But it's been fun to watch once they get into one-on-ones and you kind of look at that body type.
That guy made
a big catch. You know, he climbed the ladder for that one. That guy in coverage, he's pretty quick getting out of his break and getting to the football. You see those little traits that might carry over once they're organized.
Well, I think for the most part, I think most people that have been around football, that watch football, can watch a young guy and know that, hey, this guy's just trying to figure out what he's doing out here. But you see those bursts every now and then. Where that goes, oh, there you go. That's what you saw.
Well,
in
Joe,
that
we
guy.
Saw one yesterday in Balazs.
Yeah. Balazs How about is that? Actually, if you were to look, you go, wow. Ooh,
way ahead of the chart.
He you saw his physical talent the last couple of days, running by guys, catching a ball over his shoulder. He's got really good hands, and he's got a gear.
Yeah. Hey, one of the guys out there too that's got to be a happy guy, Bobby McCain. We've talked about Bobby all during the offseason. Now he made that big raised his game a couple levels last year and got paid for it during the offseason just recently with a contract. And I'm happy for Bobby. You know, he's a guy that worked hard and deserved it. But here's a guy out there who's got to be just happy to be running around with a big wallet in his
that
back pocket.
That changed a little bit. He got a little different strength to him over the last few
And the guys
days.
Are giving him the needle, too.
Here comes
big money.
Big papers in the house.
That's great. Yeah. No. Hey, listen, you're right. Bobby's one of the most improved players on the team a year ago. I was looking at the roster this morning of guys that made the big jump and what he did in the slot and how much better he got in coverage and the things. Hey, that's an inside-outside go, man. There are a lot of corners that are going, no, you take it inside. Yeah. I like having that sideline. Yeah. I don't want to have a two-way go plus over the top. So he's really done a nice job.
He's become one of the better players at his position in the league.
Yep.
And I think he's become one of the leaders
on this football team. I don't think there's any question about that. I think he's a – you know, Bobby's got that – and there's guys like that we've all played with that he's got that unique – he's a fun guy. You know, he's easy to get along with. He likes to laugh, likes to – but when it comes to business,
he's serious.
He's all business.
He wants to
he's
work.
He's about being better. He's about getting better. He's about making everyone around him better. And I think that is part of the reason I think why this team invested that money in Bobby, because of all those things that he brings to the table. Talk about his leadership. Talk about him being vocal out in the field, knowing where everyone's supposed to be. And by the way, you know, he's proven that he can cover in this league and be very successful.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, I was just going to say, finding a guy to cover inside with all those things, all the intangibles you talked about, has made him really, really valuable, including the work in the offseason, what he's done.
Yeah, we had a chance to catch up with Bobby a little bit early here during these OTAs and stuff, and I wish I'd have known he was going to get the contract. I wouldn't ask him about it, but I'd ask him for a little dough.
Yeah,
you got a little extra.
Spread it around to the audible.
Spilling out of those pockets.
Little 50.
Got a little extra spilling out.
We could upgrade our podcast.
Yeah, we could upgrade our podcast. Exactly. Let's hear what Bobby had to say. All right, I'm here with Bobby McCain. And what have you been doing with yourself, though, now since the season ended to get to where we're at right now?
Just trying to stay in shape, you know, just working out, trying to do the right things and just get my body right for what's coming up and what's coming ahead. We've got a big season ahead for us. And, you know, I attended the business combine that Mr. Ross put on in New York. Mm-hmm. And it was a very exciting experience. I'm very grateful to be able to go because, you know, you can learn so much from so many people. Mm-hmm. And he had tons, just him speaking and hearing the other influential people that are speaking, that, you know, it's good to just pick their brains and take notes.
We're going to touch on that a little bit later on the program, because I think it's really one of the great things that that Mr. Ross is doing for his players and people around the league that want to get involved. So we'll touch on that a little bit. But first, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the one constant in the NFL has become change. I remember the number for a number of years was 40% turnover, basically, on every team. You got 7 draft choices. Most of them usually make the team, and that's a big bulk. You got free agents move coming and going. And it seems like even now, this year, a little bit more volatile, the movement. Has this been a strange offseason for you, seeing guys come and go and the movements that really aren't done with until you guys go into training camp and get to that business?
Yeah, you know, it's the NFL. You know, it's a business where, you know, things happen, things change, and you know, we made some big moves and some big changes, but, you know, they have a plan, you know, and my job is to play football, you know, so I you know, just go out and do everything you can, and like I wish those guys the best of luck, and I know they're gonna have great futures in their careers. You know, they're really good players, and so just knowing, like, you know, just putting your best foot forward every day, coming out every day, and knowing that, you know, no one's safe. You know, we just like we just said, we just traded Jarvis, you know, released Sue. You know, those are big name guys, and those are big guys that were a big part of the team, and you know, unfortunately they're gone. So now we have to look forward and just go with what's best.
It's the nature of the beast. I mean, every team in the NFL is going through comings and goings. A guy that, you know, certainly a lot of those guys that meant a lot to this football team for a long period of time. But the guy that struck me latest was Michael Thomas. Mm-hmm. I like Michael Thomas. A good guy. Good guy to have around the team. And kind of hate to see him go. But that's kind of the same with everybody. You kind of get to know guys. And, you know, it's different from a player standpoint. You obviously get to know them at a different level than we do outside the locker room. Is it tough sometimes to see guys that you have a friendly relationship with that get jettisoned or choose to go somewhere else?
It definitely is. Like, speaking on Mike T, Mike T's one of the greatest guys I've been around. You know, he's a really good football player, and he's an even better person. You know, he does what he's supposed to do in the community, and you know, he's a real role model for people out here. And that's why he gets so much love. You know, and it sucks to see your friends go, because like I said, when I came in, there's only like maybe, I think, 2, maybe 3 of my guys that were in my class that were drafted in my class, and that are left here. So, you know, it does suck, but that, like you said, it's the nature of the beast, and like the NFL is always changing, and you know, there's going to be new faces in the locker room, new faces in the meeting rooms. You know, you just got to, you have to put it together, and that's what being a team is all about.
Bobby, you spent a lot of time since you've been here trying to improve your game, trying to be a better player, and that's what your life in the NFL, it's always trying to find that one thing that makes you a little better. And boy, you took a big leap last year. I thought you really did a lot of good things last year. 16 games, you had 7 starts during the season. You got out at the cornerback spot and you got a chance to play out there a little bit more rather than playing inside in some of the nickel and dime packages there. Do you feel good about what you accomplished last year personally?
Yeah, you know, you have people tell you had a good year, and you know, just being honest, you know if you did or you didn't. Mm-hmm. But I know I can be better. You know, I know I try not to indulge in what people are saying to me, and just keep working, keep putting my head down, and keep doing what I'm doing. You know, because each year I've gotten better, and like I said, this next year I plan on getting better, and that's the nature of the game. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Mm-hmm. Period, and that's just how it is. So, you know, I appreciate the compliment, like you said, but like I said, I haven't had my best year.
Yeah, you got to step out in the corner a little bit. Did you like doing that? And it certainly, I think you certainly sent a message to everybody in that secondary that hey, I'm more than a one-trick pony. I can play inside, but I can also go outside and cover anyone you need out there. I think you certainly made that evident last year.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I can do it all. You know, if you, regardless where I play, I'm going to try to get the job done. Yeah. And that's my job as a football player, and that's my job. That's my role for the Dolphins. Wherever you play, get the job done. And that's what I like to do.
All right. So talk about changing the team, guys coming in. One of the guys certainly interested in coming in, Danny Amendola. You got up close and personal with him last year up in New England. Kind of take us through that little thing, that little scuffle up there. I was right there kind of watching it. Quite frankly, that's the kind of football I like. I enjoyed it. So, you know, I wouldn't have thrown a flag on you, but that's just me. But kind of take it. That was something that's kind of – it's funny, these things, people see them at the moment, and sometimes these things start maybe a game two, maybe a year back, where things go. Has this been something that's come along, or was this just a one-time – game situation?
it was a game situation. You know, it was real intense. You know, anytime you play the Patriots, it's going to be intense. You know, so like I said, now he's my teammate now. Yeah. You know, and you know, now we're going to go to war together, and that's what it is. You know, I'm sure we'll have a conversation about what went on, but like I said, at the end of the day, now we're trying to win games. Yeah. So, you know, we're teammates, and we're going to try to go out and get the job done. Regardless, like I said, I'm on his side. Yeah. He's on my side, so.
I hated the guy for the last 5 years. Yeah. Now I like him. It's funny how those things happen, huh?
Yeah, you know, he's, like I said, man, he's a good football player.
Good football player. He's always been a good football player.
Tough guy. He's a good player, you know. Unfortunately, we had our differences, you know, but that happens, you know. Well, like practice now, it's game day every day now. Yeah. You know, regardless that he's on our team, regardless who's stepping in front of me, you know, it's just – it should be that, – that's what practice should be. It should be competitive. It should be good football, you know, where people are competing, people are trying to get – people are trying to win.
Well, you don't get in that situation with a guy like Danny Amendola or anybody else that you're playing with if you're not competing at the highest level. And to me, that's just a byproduct of going out there and playing your ass off. And you know, you guys mix it up, and you're two very competitive guys. I don't see a big problem with it myself.
Yeah, for sure.
But you did get thrown out of the game.
Yeah, I did.
And you got thrown out of a game in New England.
Yeah.
That's a long walk to the locker room from that side of the field.
Man, it's a long
with all
walk.
Those people, and they're not very hesitant to voice their opinion.
Oh yeah, they're gonna let you know.
How was that walk into the locker room?
They let me have it. You know, they let me have it. They're gonna let you know that you know you're wrong, and you know you'll know when you're in New England.
Yeah.
I promise. And but like I said, man, you know, I lost my cool, and like I told the team after the game, you know, it won't happen again.
Yeah.
And you know, I told him I got the privilege to speak to the team before the Patriots game at home, and you know, I just was telling them how I was feeling. I told him I spoke from the heart, and I told him, you know, hey, like I want to win regardless what it takes. I told him, I promise you, I'm gonna be in this game all 4 quarters. So, I made that promise, and I kept it.
Well, give me 52 guys that are that committed to trying to win a football game. And we'll do pretty good with that type of group. So I got no problem with that. Hey, you were talking about it. So let's get on to Mr. Ross, and he's done this for the last couple of years. Runs a business combine. I think last year he had 19 guys up there. I think there are probably a similar amount of number of guys up there this year. I don't know how many of the guys, the same guys from the year before to this year, but he gives players an opportunity, and it's an open invite to anybody that wants to come up. I understand on the theme is that, you know, come on up. You're going to get to sit in the meetings with with myself, CEOs from other companies, presidents of other companies, people that are in very powerful positions in the business world. And first of all, that Mr. Ross would do that and extend that invitation says a lot about a lot of people in a lot of people around sports, around football, think that to owners, players are nothing more than a piece of meat and a chess piece to move around. I think this kind of shows that Mr. Ross is a little bit different owner than that. He's concerned with not only what you do now as a player, but that you're ready when you're done playing to be able to go on. And look, you know, I haven't played in 30 years. I'm 63 years old. I had a lot of life after football. You're going to have a lot of life after football. Certainly nice to have somebody behind you here trying to get you ready for that life so you can be successful then as you've been up until now.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like you said, I appreciate him inviting me up to because you learn so much, just not from the football, just seeing things from outside of football, you know. And like one of the owners told us up there, he told us, you know, you're going to play football for 10 to 15 years. Mm-hmm. That's a third of your life, you know. So you have so much life ahead of you that you have to set yourself in place to be able to take care of your family, be able to just if you want to be able to change the world, to be honest, and you know, just influential people, like you said, like CEOs and presidents of different companies coming and speaking, hearing Mr. Ross speak and seeing the Hudson Yards and what he has going up, you know, it's just being around those influential people is really exciting. And you want to pick their brain, you want to pick their brain, take down notes, because you never know, one thing they may say, it may stick with you forever. Mm-hmm. So it was a great compliment for me.
Well, you see successful people and what they've done to be successful, and not only what they've done to get successful, but what they do to continue to be successful, because like you said, after your life is a long way to go, and it's all about continuing to provide for your family and do all those things. I know you talked with the NFL Network, Nate Burleson's guys. Is that something that you're as you look down the road, that broadcasting or something like that is something you would like to invest in?
Yeah, definitely. Broadcast, TV, radio, you know, that's something I feel like I have a love for, I have a passion for, you know, that and kids, you know. I love coaching. So those two, like just being able to talk with him and just being able to just pick his brain and just be able to get some tips and just be like, know where I need to start, where I need to finish, what do I need to, you know, what do I need to say, how do I need to look, or how, you know, regardless of himself, he gave me great notes and great tips. So just be yourself, you know, just be yourself and be who you are. And like I said, it is a great opportunity for me to be able to talk to him, Mr. Ross, and other owners and executives.
You know, I haven't been through it. I truly believe that for life after, the NFL is maybe one of the greatest platforms ever for you to take off and get what you want to get into. Did they talk a little bit to you about managing money, this type of things? Because, you know, in the world now and in the NFL, there's a lot of people out there that want to stick their hand in your pocket. And trying to decide, you know, who you want to get in bed with, who you don't want to get in bed with, it really is a make or break for a lot of players. Were there any conversations about that going down the road?
Yeah, you know, there were conversations of that. They're just speaking on, you know, money management. You know, that the football money, it'll last you.
Yes.
If you play in the league a long time, it can last you a lifetime.
Yes.
If you take care of yourself, you know, if you're out handling it responsibly, you know, if you're not, then it can be short term, and you may have to get a job where you work a 9-to-5, which is nothing wrong with that, but there, you have a great opportunity to be able to set yourself up. You have a platform that you can just really branch out and see what's out in the world, you know, and not even being with money, just being just having that label as an NFL player, you know, just having that label and having that shield behind you. You know, people want to know, like, okay, how'd you do it?
Right.
You know, just like I want to know, like, being, putting a suit and tie on, sitting in front of Mr. Ross, how'd you do it? You know, and one thing he spoke to me was, one thing he said when we first got in the room was, success breeds success. And that kind of stuck with me. I mean, it can mean a lot of things. It can mean a lot of meanings, you know. And for me, I just take it home to, you know what I'm saying, if you continue to do what you're doing, and you continue to be successful, then that should carry over to where you want to be in life, you know. Because if I can play football for however many years I won't play football, I should be able to do anything.
Well, I'm sure you started playing football when you're about 9 years old, and here you are in the NFL, and you look back all over that time at all the work you put in to get from there to here over the years, and that's what's made you successful. And it's funny because I try to tell guys like, well, just remember what you did to get here, and do the same thing. And whatever that next, whether it's broadcasting, whether you become a business owner, you know, whatever field you go into, you've got the greatest background because you've accomplished something that very few people in this world exactly. have ever accomplished, and you've done it with hard work. Transfer it over to what you do after. Seems exactly. to be a pretty easy transition.
Exactly. Having that mentality of like getting the job done. My mentality when I step out on the field, all right, I'm going to get the job done. You know, the ball's up in the air, let me get the job done. I want the ball. Mm-hmm. Knock the ball down. You know, regardless of what it is, take that mentality and put it in a business world. Mm-hmm. And you'll get the job done. Regardless, yeah, it's different. It's a little different. You may have to dress different. You yeah. may have to, you know, you may have to do things differently. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, get the job done.
Yep. Good. Yeah, it's a great thing to do, and I'm sure you really enjoy that. Hey, you played baseball at Memphis. Where's baseball in your life anymore? Do you pay attention to it? Do you watch? Watch baseball? Or?
I watch from time to time. Yeah. It's tough to watch. Yeah. It's a little yeah, tough to watch. Is, so, you know, but I pay attention from time to time. If there's a good baseball game on, of course, the playoffs yeah. I watch. And but no, I still love baseball. Like I said, my son's gonna play baseball. Yeah. He don't really have a choice. So yeah. Yeah. he not saying I'm ready.
And
for
you played all through when you were at Memphis?
No. Just I played high school. I started at Memphis like yeah. when I first got there, yeah. and it was a lot to handle. You know,
yeah, playing. Much,
yeah. yeah, it's a lot to handle with books and mm-hmm. football and school workouts. You know, it's a lot to
could
do,
you
a
hit?
Lot to handle. Yeah, I can hit.
I could hit.
I was pretty good.
Yeah,
I wasn't bad.
Yeah, what couldn't you hit?
I had trouble with the changeup. I got trouble with the changeup.
Baseball, it's funny you mentioned that because baseball, as a kid, is great, really one of the great games to play. But now it's gotten so slow and it's kind of in the mud. And,
yeah.
You know, I'd like to see something, but I don't. You know, I'd like to see him pick it up, but I don't want to see him change the game either, which
yeah,
is kind of a
exactly.
You know,
exactly. And it, like you said, like. It's fun to play. It's fun to be out on the field. It's fun to be out, you know, getting ready for the ball, whatever, hitting the ball,
yeah.
pitching, catching, whatever you're doing. But, man, when you're sitting behind that TV and it's yeah. going really, oh, yeah. man, it's tough.
Yeah. Hey, let's kind of get back to where you are right now. What do you do between now and the time that training camp starts so that you can compete at the level that you want to compete in once the season begins?
See, it's a big change from my rookie year to my fourth year. Mm-hmm. So, my rookie year, I would say, you know, I'm going to work out, run really hard, and, you know, just do what I got to do. But it takes more than that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's it takes more for your body. It takes more mentally. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to even now, if you want to get a little extra study time in, like, you know, just turn the film on. Mm-hmm. Even if it's 5-10 minutes, you just sit in front of the TV, mm-hmm. turn the film on, watch the Patriots. You play them twice a year.
Yeah.
Why not? You know, so even that, like, but like such as working out, nutrition, that's one thing that I take seriously now, mm-hmm. you know, from then to now,
yeah.
Nutrition. Physical therapy, just taking care of the body, massages, regardless what it is, because it's a really long season ahead of you. And, you know, during OTAs, you know, we do a great job here of trying to stay in shape, running, conditioning, and meetings and whatnot. But you have to do whatever you have to do to get that extra mile, because clearly we didn't do enough. You know, we went 6-10, mm-hmm. so whatever you got to do to get that extra step in, we have to take care of it.
Will you spend time this off season with X and Tank, the young guys, out there and kind of try to get them from where they are as after rookies and X his second year going into his third year where you can kind of help them bridge that gap to get to be the players they want to be sooner than maybe they could be?
Yeah, DB the DBs, we actually, some of us train together, me, X, mm-hmm. TJ,
yep.
Lip, we train together and you know, just to push each other,
yeah.
you know, regardless, like we just to push each other, make sure we're all doing the right things. Not saying doing the right things, but just working, like
yeah,
working our tails off, because
yeah.
we want to be great. You know, like regardless, we don't want to be average. No, we want to be the best secondary mm-hmm. in the league, and we have a chance to be with the players we have here. We have a chance to be. So, just you know, pushing each other, going that extra mile,
mm-hmm.
Doing whatever we have to do, man. Just to be able to say, hey, okay, we put the work in. Now it's time to show it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not guaranteed. Just because you work hard doesn't mean you're gonna come out and win ball games. That doesn't happen. It takes more than that.
Yeah, I'm looking for Lippitt. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do. You know, he had such a good year the year before. Really came on as a DB back there in the corner the year before, and then unfortunately had the injury. So I'm looking forward to see what he can do and continue to grow this year.
Yeah, for sure. He's getting healthy. He's looking really good. You know, he's ahead of the process of wherever he is in his rehab. But you know, he's looking real good.
What's the feeling like in that DB room? Competitive, helping. What's it like?
Man, it's a couple feelings, man. It's competitive. It's you know, we help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like there'll never be a time where a guy will ask, can't ask a question because he doesn't, because he's like, oh man, or there'll never be a time where a guy won't answer a question. Mm-hmm. You know, if I, anyone ask me a question, I'll try my best to answer. If I don't know it, I'll ask, you know, so, you know, just being like we said, we had Tank, rookie, and Mo, Tori, we had a couple rookies in the room. You know, those guys, anytime they ask questions, you know, just help them, you know, that's what we do in our room. We're really close. We're right now, like, we're still building chemistry. Like I said, we're training together, and that all goes together. You know, regardless, we have vets in our room, such as Shad, and you know, and TJ, and guys that have been in the league 6+ years. So you know, just it's competitive, but it's also, you know, it's also like a, like, I'm not gonna say a friend zone, but it's like, you know, we're all really tight, we're all really close,
because
it's a brotherhood. We all want the same thing. Yeah. You know, we're all fighting for the same thing, and that's a championship.
It's really one of the oddities to me in the NFL. That guys that are there that have the job will do everything they can help to everything they can do to help the guy behind them that's trying to take your job, but you're willing to help them get better while they're trying to take your job. And I know it's all about making the team as a whole better, but I don't think there's very many places on this earth where you have a job where you're making the kind of money you're making in the NFL, where you're trying to help the guy behind you who's trying to take your job away from you.
Yeah, you know, like you said, I mean, it's like you said, at the end of the day, like if you're behind the guy, you're trying to take his job. I mean, if you're in front of the guy, you're trying to keep your job. You know?
Right.
So at the end of the day, you just got to go out and compete and do your best. You know, that just give your best, give your all, man. That's all we can ask for.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, we'll find a spot for you, you know, so, and myself included, you know.
Who keeps that room light? Who's the practical joker in that room? Who's the guy that, it may be you, I think, that kind of keeps things light in that room?
We all try to, you know, that probably, I would say probably Xavier, X, you know.
Really?
He's,
I wouldn't, man, he would be the last guy I would think.
Man, he's a character.
Yeah.
He's a character, you know, but he came along this year,
yeah.
You know, and he gets it, man. You know, he understands that. You know, like from a rookie year to second year to third year, like it takes more. And we all, you know, everybody goes through that phase where you have to understand, like, you got to watch more film, you got to do more studying, you got to do this, you got to do that. But just keeping a room, just keeping everybody on their toes, you know, we all have our hand in it. We all have our hand in, like, you know, because I joke with TJ a lot, I joke with Lip, I joke with Shad, you know, regardless who it is.
Yeah.
But we're all close enough to where we know we don't mean anything by it. You know, we mean the best by it.
Which means you can push the edge pretty hard.
Yeah, exactly.
you guys hang pretty tight when you guys get on the road. I know you usually go out to dinner or whatever, some places before you. The night before the games, you usually hang pretty close together with everybody.
Yeah, we'll definitely go to dinner for just about every away game we have, and you know, we used to, even home games sometimes we'll go to dinner. Just keeping that, like, even if it's throughout the week, man. Hey, man, let's just grab a guy.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to go to dinner? Just chalk it up, man, because these are guys you're gonna go to war with.
Yeah.
You know, every Sunday. So I want to know he's got my back same way he wants to know that I have his.
Who do you argue with on that team?
Who do
you argue with on that team? Who kind of gets under your skin a little bit? And I'm not talking in a love hate way. You know, they likes to just kind of maybe stick the needle in you every now and then.
I used to go at it with Jarvis a lot because we would compete.
Sure.
Yeah, we would compete every day. You know, he plays in the slide, and so I would go with Jarvis a lot, and Kenny.
Yeah.
We'll touch base from time to time with a couple jokes here or there, but it's all love, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll give him a hard time, and give me a hard time, but at the end of the day, we know. I'm trying to win, and he's trying to win, and that's what brings the best out of the team. That's what brings the best out of people.
Can this team make the leap from where they were at 6-10 last year to be the kind of team that you guys want to be, in a team that's challenging in the playoffs, and then getting in the playoffs and being able to challenge in the playoffs?
Without a doubt, there'll never be a time where you hear me say, oh, we're just going to be mediocre, or oh, we're just going to be average. No. I go into every year thinking, okay, look, this is what we're gonna do. This is the plan we have, you know, and we're trying to do our best, man. We want to win it all. Well, I'm sick of looking at the Super Bowl in every February. I'm sick of it.
It's so horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
You know? So we're trying to. I'm not just gonna sit here and say, oh, the Dolphins win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, don't. But I am gonna say that's our goal.
Hey, look, I'm speaking for myself and nobody else. You know, if I was a head coach in this league, the first thing I would say when I got in front of my football team the first day would be, look, we're here for one purpose. That's to win a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Anything short of that, we've fallen short.
Exactly.
And I don't think, you know, to me, maybe I'm old school, but I don't think that throwing that out there, you know, why set your goal for something lower than that? Because everyone's playing – There's one team that ends the season happy. One team is jumping up and down at the end of the year.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And every other team walks away pissed because their season's over too early. Mm-hmm. And so if that's the case, you might as well shoot for the stars, right?
Yeah, man. There's no point being mediocre, man. There's no point in just standing in the back and just being in the middle of the pack. No, man, we want to lead. We want to be the guys that people hate to come down to South Florida and play. Oh man, we got to go to the hot box. Yeah. That's the team we want to be. That's the secondary. That's the offense and defense we want to be. So, you know, like I said, that's our goal is to win games. Take it one game at a time. Yeah. Get that job done. Who's next?
Hey, you get up for every game and you prepare every game and you go out to play your best every game. But who do you play against every year that really gets you, really attracts your attention?
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. The Patriots. You know, it's been going on here for years now. Yep. You know, like you said, you prepare every game, and I go into every game thinking, you know, I go into every game preparing the same, that I'm going to watch this, I'm going to do this, and this is what they do, this is what they like, this is what they don't like. But, you know, there's just a different feel when you're in New England or when New England's here. You know, it's a different feel of the game. You know, and like I said, like at any point in time, any Sunday, any team can beat you.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter if you're playing a 1-15 team, or if you're playing a 12-3 team, or 12-4 team. You know, regardless of what it is, any team can beat you, and you have to go into every game preparing that way. But for sure, New England Patriots is a game that you have to get up.
He's the best player you've played against.
Yeah, Tom Brady, for sure.
No doubt,
without a doubt.
Well, what about receivers out there that you look at and that you know they're going to be a big challenge?
You know, you have your great receivers such as Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, your Beckhams, your Jarvises.
Yep.
You know, just guys that have a staple in the league. But you know, there's guys that you don't know that'll surprise you. And, you know, about as soon as you think you have a guy down, that's when he surprises you, and that's when, you know, the ball goes over your head. So, you know, you just have to, like I say, anytime anyone lines up, I think I've told this to you before, I don't really see names, I see numbers.
No, yeah.
So, you know, just going out there, man, and playing hard, man, playing your ass off is what it's about.
It's all about focus. You know, I was talking to someone last week, and they go, man, you're playing those games, and it's people are screaming and this and that, and I said, you know what? If you're really focused for a game, you should be able to stand in that field and you don't hear anything out there. It's almost like it's dead quiet. I remember lining up in games where there's 80,000 people and I could put my hand in the ground and I could hear the offensive lineman. I could hear him breathing, even though the crowd was going crazy. Do you feel that focus when you get out there?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You can hear it all. You know, the crowd's going to go crazy regardless. But over the years, you know, you get used to that. You kind of filter that out.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you're just kind of focused on your job and responsibility at the time. So, when they line up, when the offense lines up, you know, that's boom. It's kind of like tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's see what I have. Okay, what's the split? Where's the back? Where's the tight end set? Or what's, you know, you look at different things to give you different tips, different points, and on what's coming. Because you know, at the end of the day, they're running forward, you're running backwards.
Yeah.
So you better know something.
What do this team need to do to be able to knock the New England Patriots off their perch? They've been on that perch for a long time, well deserved. Very well-coached football team. They always got one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game, and you could say the same about their head coach. And they do a good job of bringing people in, coming and going. What does this team need to do to be able to knock them off?
I would say the main thing for me is just compete, man.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, compete. Because if you compete all game, you know, people don't want that. People don't want that pressure. People don't want that smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're just – steadily pounding, regardless what the score is.
Yep.
People hate that. They don't like that. And, you know, Tom Brady didn't like that, you know, at the end of the day. So just go out, compete, man, and finish. We got to finish ball games better. We have to, you know, we have to start better, regardless what it is. Like, we have to do something. We have to find whatever it was that had a 6-10. We have to find something that'll flip it around. And I'm not talking about 10-6 either. I mean, better than that.
Yep. What do you do now, Bob? What do you do now to hang out and just you can't play football all day and you can't watch film all day, and so you got a little spare time now between when before things really start getting intense. What do you do to relax and just kind of chill out a little bit?
I tend to hit the beach.
Yeah.
You know, I'll hit the beach or I'll sit at home. I'll play video games. Be a
you
child.
You wear speedos when you go to the beach. You wear those tight little shorts.
No speedos.
I may
have a swim trunks on, but no speedos. I may play video games.
Yeah.
I may, just be a kid again, you know, at the end of the day, because like I said, you can't get a job because this is your job.
Yeah.
So, just try to take care of yourself, man. I go home, I chill at home for a couple hours, take some naps, you know, when you're training hard, you know, you gotta have the midday nap. So, just, you know, simple things like that, that you know, that'll carry throughout the day. I try to find things like Top Golf.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Like, sure. I really like Top Golf. Yeah. I try to go like once a week and get my swing on. Yeah. But
How's that swing?
I suck. I'm terrible.
Yeah, I'm horrible too.
So I'm terrible. I'm really bad.
Yeah.
But you know, just things like that, man. That just take your mind off football because this is all you got.
Yeah.
This next month or so.
Yeah.
This is after that, it's on. So
you've been around here for a while, Bobby. You ever find yourself daydreaming, running down the highway or whatever, and going, man, I'm playing in the NFL, man.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it's really surreal, you know, yeah. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to have this opportunity because I know guys that are my friends that don't have this opportunity that are good football players, you know. So, you know, it's a blessing. You just got to take heed to it and go out every day and showcase why you're here.
Yeah. It's funny. I've talked to people like I've talked to kids and stuff like that. And I said, look, I was fortunate enough to play college football, high school football, played in the NFL. And I was never the best player on my football team. I've never been the best player on a football team, but I was able to do to reach the ultimate as far as football. Do you feel the same way yourself?
Yeah, you know, you just at the end of the day.
There's a lot of good football players that I passed along the way for whatever reason. Either I sprained my ankle, I can't play anymore,
there's
or
a
this
lot
or
of,
that, or whatever. Oh, the coach doesn't like me. I've heard all the excuses, but it's funny the guys that you pass up along the way that may have been really, quite frankly, much better football players than you and I, but they just quite didn't have the DNA to get over the hump.
Yeah, man, that's something my parents they instilled in me a long time ago. You know, try not to worry about the next man, worry about your man. Mm-hmm. And you know, like you said, there's been guys on my team in the past that have been better than me.
Yep.
That's just facts. But at the end of the day, I know what it takes, and I know how to work, and I know how to put the work ethic, and I know how to. Like you said, it's instilled in your DNA just to get the job done. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about, man. If you can get the job done, then you'll always have a job.
All right, well, let's get the job done this year, Bobby.
You know it, bro.
Appreciate it, man. Looking forward to big stuff out of you this year.
For sure.
Was really happy to see what you did last year, and I know you're going to get better at it this year, and just looking forward to enjoying it.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so Bobby McCain, good guy. And, you know, it's funny because I talked to Bobby about a week ago. I saw him at an event. We were talking. He said, hey, I heard that podcast that you do, that we did. He said, but I didn't hear myself on it. I said, oh, don't worry. We're saving you for later on.
Yeah.
We're saving you better. He said, well, where can I hear it? I said, well, Ma, you know where you can hear it. I said, you can see it on here on Apple Music. I said, you got the Dolphin app, right? The mobile app. He says, yeah, I got that. So you can hear it on that.
Right.
You can hear it on Dolphins.com.
Uh-huh.
You can hear it on TuneIn Radio.
Yes.
And you can hear it on iTunes.
And when are you going to drop it, Bo?
Huh?
When's it going to drop?
Today it's going to drop on Thursday evening, I think.
Good job.
Huh?
Very good.
There you go.
Always
That's
on
all
Thursday.
That. Got all that stuff in there going and whatnot. So anyway, Bobby, great to have Bobby. And he's always a good guy. Always a guy that you enjoy talking to. And always seems to have that smile on his face, man.
He's a fireball, man.
Yeah.
He really is. He is a fun guy to be around.
And it didn't take long for he and Danny Amendola to get
they
back.
Introduced each other.
They got back
acquainted. It was nice.
So here's the other guy.
That's not going to be over, by the way. That's going to
be training camp. No. Yeah.
No.
There's going to be a bad day out there. Everybody's dragging. Falls behind.
Somebody. Yeah. Well, somebody pushes off. Somebody holds.
I haven't been to as many practices as I'd like to, but. But I know, speaking to you guys, Danny Amendola, he ain't slowing down. He's not letting up on that thing.
No.
Here's a guy that puts pressure on everybody every time.
Including himself.
He reminds me, going back, it was one of my favorite guys here was Devon Bess. When Devon Bess was here, I used to love watching Devon practice because it didn't matter if he was running against a defender or he was just running against air. Every time he ran it with a purpose. He was always trying to.
He's trying to work on technique.
Let me see if I can. You know, kind of stutter and get some guy. He always was thinking about something, and I kind of get the feeling that Danny Amendola is the same kind of guy. And Joe, you know how it is. You know, you have offensive day and defensive day in practices, and you know, after a while, especially if you've been playing.
Here comes this route.
The veteran. Well, you know, you guys go ahead. Got your offense left. I remember the first day of all, John Gieser come over. Hey, Bo, remember it's offensive day. I got you.
Don't make me look bad, bro.
Yeah. I got you.
I got to watch these tapes. Yeah. You don't.
Don't make this practice go on longer than it should.
And then the next day, I was, hey, Geese, D-Day. D-Day, boy,
I'm going to come off the edge here.
I got it.
That's good teamwork.
But then you get those guys that don't buy into that. They're just going to bust it out all. And I think both those guys are in that category.
Yeah, and they kind of get an idea here after a while what each guy's going to do and likes to do. And you're right, it's going to get frustrating.
Hey, you know what's been fun to watch between those two is the first couple days, it was intense. Yeah. And it was still New England, Miami, yeah. I think. I think there was still a lot of that yeah. there. But as practices, as the OTAs went on into minicamp,
yeah.
after a guy caught a ball, if Danny caught a ball or Bobby, more about Bobby going yeah. and saying, give me a little
yeah.
tap,
yeah.
Good
yeah.
route.
Well, you go from being – now you go from, hey, let's work hard. It used to be, let me work hard so I can beat your ass on the yeah. field. Now it's let's work hard so we can make our whole team better.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
If you work hard and I work hard, we're going to make everyone else going to see it. It's going to make me better. It's going to make you better. And hopefully makes the rest of the team better.
And,
so
and
it's
that's
a
the way
mentality. Yeah.
That's the way veteran guys, they get teams better around them. And they get young guys to grow up by watching guys yeah. compete that way, I think.
Hey, let's get to some of these. We've kind of been busy the last couple shows. We haven't really had a chance to get to the fan questions a little bit. And I got an email or a message or something on Facebook and said, you need to get to more fans questions. So here I am. Twitter, Alonzo 1105. I wonder if that's one of Kiko's. You got about 35 relatives that live down here, Kiko.
Got a lot of tickets.
Smythe is a very underrated receiving tight end. Durham Smythe. He has very good hands and runs a good route. He's a perfect complement to Gesicki. And that kind of leads into the conversation we were having a little before we went on the air that those guys have a way to go. Those guys have a way to go to get comfortable with a scheme, get comfortable offensively. Because until they get comfortable with what they've got to do, where they've got to be, and how you react to guys that are playing against you, the defenders and everything, you're not playing at top speed.
No, they're way behind the yeah. three guys, the three veterans,
yeah.
including two guys they picked up, one in the offseason and one during the season. They're way behind those yeah. guys mentally right now, yeah. way behind. Can't even compete.
Yeah. So we'll have to see. Time will tell with those guys. I'm not gonna let a mini camp or an OTA practice where these guys are still trying to get their feet under the ground, say, hey, these guys are bad picks.
I watch these guys more in individual drills yeah. than I do in team because I know yeah. what to expect out of team, good drills point. And 7-on-7. See how they move, but individually, you wouldn't be able to tell he's yeah. a rookie or he's a veteran.
Yeah, you know we had. Who was the guy we had a while back, the tight end, the kid they got out of Missouri? It took me about 10
Igwe.
Minutes.
Igwe.
Took me
Egnew.
Egnew. Egnew. Good kid, but it took me about 5 minutes to realize this guy can't play. But I don't think that's the case with
he
these
was
guys.
One, you're right. He was one of those guys standing up, coming. It took him all day to come out. And you're like,
I should have asked Mike Sherman who it was. I would have
yeah.
got the name right.
Yeah. I don't know. I just didn't like his body. It wasn't nothing about the guy I liked from a player standpoint. From a play, not a bad guy. Worked his ass off. And really, with Dan Campbell working, became a guy.
Got the most he could out of him.
Got the most out he could out of the guy, but he just wasn't, you know. But anyway, that's one of those acorns that got stepped on there. Acorn got overturned, but yeah. you should have missed that acorn, yeah. I think, on that one.
Yeah, we had a few of those.
Tom Ortiz on Facebook, Jason Sanders wasn't the most accurate kicker during college. Does that concern you guys at all? Well, we talked to Darren Rizzi about it, and, you know, he talked about how, look, sometimes these guys in college, they don't got the best snapper, they don't got the best holder. You know, and now you get in the NFL, and you can really judge a guy. And I think they're very high on Jason Sanders. They drafted him with their last pick in the draft. And everyone's wondering why you draft. Well, you didn't have a kicker, so you had to draft someone anyway. But anyway, I think you know, talking to Rizzi, I think Coach Rizzi is very, very high on him, and believes a lot that this kid's going to be the real deal.
You know, Bo, that's also one of those positions, as you know. It's one thing to kick him in practice every day.
Yeah, man.
It's another in the preseason.
Yeah, man. Yep.
And then it's another one of those tight ball games that count.
Yep. But the good thing is I remember when Garrow was here. Garrow used to beat up those kickers, man. I mean, beat them up. They see the kickers, they always go by themselves. And
there used to be a tribe of kickers, though. Now there's only like one or two.
Yeah.
They'd always bring a kicker, and Garrow, you know, the first pass, Garrow would go, hey, hey, it's a little hot out here. Why don't you take your helmet off? It's okay.
Just sit on it over there.
Kick some ball. You know, he goes, well, should I put him on a kick? No, not while we're over here. You don't need to wear your helmet. Just go. And sure enough, about 2 minutes later, Coach Shula, damn it, what are you doing with your helmet off?
That's bad. Hey, and you know the other one, and we talked about this with Riz. The other thing is, like, now when a kicker messes up, nobody says a word to him on the side. Back in the old days, you got MF'd by everybody,
everybody,
offensive linemen.
Coming off the field.
We just went 10 plays, you can't make a friggin' kick. They would kill him. Like, Cooch, nothing to pick on Bob Kuchenberg, but Cooch was old school and just felt like That's all you do during practice.
I don't want to know you. I don't want to hear you.
Just kick it through. That's all you got to do. Yeah, he was tough, man.
But Cooch was always a backup kicker, too. You know Cooch was a
kicker. No, I didn't know that.
He was the backup kicker?
I think Cooch kicked when he was at Notre Dame. I think he was a straight-on kicker. I think he even had a square
toe. I did not know that.
I've
learned a lot about Cooch over the last few years from you.
Matt Snyder, 65, at Twitter, at Matt Snyder, 65. Fitzpatrick is calm, cool, collective, and all about business. I absolutely love it. Can't wait for the season. Excited to see you ball, Minka. Well, I don't think you're the only one out here that's looking forward to seeing this kid.
Comes as advertised.
Yeah, and
day one.
Yeah.
That's a guy that doesn't look like a rookie.
That's right. And I want to say this. Now, he's the other way. He is involved in so many plays, and he even looks it out there.
Yeah.
He got that Don McNeil from the old days. Mm-hmm. Mac lined up day one, he's ready to play. And he's got that, so sometimes I'm like, okay.
You're almost scared he's too confident.
Yeah, you know what? He's making plays already, hadn't even been here.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold back on not giving this guy too many compliments.
The one thing you do notice right away, he looks the part. He's always taking the right angle.
Yeah.
His angles are perfect. Yeah. In terms of he's never undercutting anything.
Yep.
He's never way over the top where he can't make a play. And then he looks he's under control.
Yeah.
It's not like he's flying to get there, but he's already there.
Yeah. And that's a funny thing about defensive player. I mean, I've seen a lot of defensive players over the years. They just can't get the angle game down. They can't, you know, you see him, you know, guy kind of breaks around the corner and they take that bad angle. And as soon as you see him take angle, they're never going to catch that guy. You know, you better give yourself a little more room there to catch that guy. And you see, and some guys instinctually do it well, and some guys don't.
He's got it.
Yeah, but he's got it, yeah. Austin Pop, P-O-P-P-E. How would you pronounce that?
Popé.
Popé?
He's French.
You think he's
No, I don't know, man. I don't know what it is. Poppy?
You think he's friends with Alan Poppy. Poupard?
I don't know.
Facebook. I'm probably alone in this one. I'm probably alone in this one, but Bobby is my favorite player on the team. Every week the camera always seems to find him because he brings it every game, every down. Love this guy. I'm assuming he's talking about Bobby McCain. Well, I think we just kind of went through and I think we all kind of feel the same way about Bobby. And, you know, some guys, you know, you watch, they get contract. You know, okay, got to get a contract. You know, good for him. But Bobby, I was happy for Bobby.
Yeah. Kid worked hard.
He's just the guy not to feel good about.
Fifth round pick.
Out of Memphis.
Not from a big school.
Yeah. Yep.
And he went out and he earned it, man. He went out and earned it.
At FinFan89 off Twitter, you guys have any interest in coaching? I think the young guys could all use some old school football mentality. I got no interest. I never had any interest in coaching, Joe. I don't know about you, but all I did, from the time I saw how much these guys work.
Yeah.
And the hours, and especially when you get into this league now, college was the same thing. You know, I want to plan. I'm a route planner. You know, I lived for 22 years in California. I've lived here for the rest of my life. I want to plant roots, man. I don't want to be. And these guys, you got to become a bit of a vagabond, a little
don't
nomad.
Unpack.
Don't unpack. And
I have great respect. I would never coach either. I got great respect because these guys,
no doubt,
they work. A lot of hours.
And that's it. The work that goes – I don't think people realize the work that goes in to being an assistant coach or any coach at this level or at the college level. Really, it doesn't matter. All those coaches are dedicated to their
time. And how about the stepping stones you got to go through to get to where you want to be?
Well, you know what? I remember talking to with Terrell Buckley and Lamar Thomas.
Yeah.
And when they decide they want to get into coaching. And so they, you know, they went – and those guys, I tell you what – those guys went the long road, man.
Yep.
They did high school, they did college, and then they worked there from small college and worked. So those guys have put their time in and they're committed to it. But I just couldn't the time spent.
Did you mention recruiting? You have to worry about that whole thing too.
The other thing with these guys is that you know if you're a position coach, right? Nowadays everyone knows the head coach and the offensive and defensive coordinator. But if you're the tight end coach or you're you're an assistant offensive line coach, no one knows who you are.
No.
You're anonymous. You still work just as hard as everyone else.
Maybe more.
You do all this stuff and game's over and you walk into a restaurant and no one even knows who you are. Or you know, they're just there. Which You know, everyone wants, look, no one's craving recognition, but every now and then you like someone to say, hey, you guys did a good job
today.
That's
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And these guys, you know, they live in an, for the most part, they live in anonymity.
I had the most fun going back to my high school at St. Thomas and coaching the young kids because the time was perfect for me. It wasn't, it was 2.5 hours, maybe put another hour the entire week trying to get a couple plays that they might remember and might help them out during the game. And that was fun.
Yeah.
You know, and I always thought I was going to be a coach at some point until it felt like the coaches that I had were better fathers to me, maybe, had more time for me than they had time for their own kids because they were never home.
Yeah.
And I felt like, man, if I get in that situation, I have a family, that's going to be a tough decision for me to make.
I'll tell you what, that age group that John's talking about working with, JV, freshmen and JV, freshmen and sophomore, they want to learn too, man. It's a good age. They take everything in.
It's so much fun because you'll see them 10 years down the line. And somebody's yelling, hey, coach, and I'm not coaching anybody.
Right.
And they come up, coach.
Yeah.
You know, and they kind of remember you. And it's fun in my instance being at a school that these kids go on from high school to college, and a lot of them, not majority, but a lot of them play in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you'll see him pregame, coach. And James White's running down the field for New England.
Yeah.
You know, or Brandon Linder's the center for Jacksonville.
That's
so
cool.
That was my enjoyment I got out of going back to coach little guys.
You know what? It's funny you say that because, you know, sometimes you get kids that are that young, you teach them something that changes their game. You know, I can do this. And I was just at a reunion for my high school football team, and everyone got up and talked a little bit and this and that, and I had one of my real good friends on my high school team, and I hadn't seen for probably 25 years or so, and so we're talking. I said, you know what? I said. And they're going, you know, you did this. And I said, but you know what? I said, this is where I learned to play football with you guys. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'll remember. I said, I'll remember it till the day I die. I remember one day in practice, I was playing tight end, and we had a linebacker, outside line, and I couldn't hook the son of a bitch to save my life. You know, we're running a toss sweep.
He's outside.
I gotta try to hook
you.
Him. He's outside me. And the coaches yelled at me. Damn it, Bo Camper, get on the outside. Get your head outside the guy, you know. So after practice, everyone's walking the field. He goes, Bo Camper, Garcia, get over here. So we come over, and we stood in the field for about 45 minutes, and all I did was try to hook this guy.
Right.
He said, you line up outside of him, and you make it hard for him. And so I just over and over and over and over until finally I kind of figured out, you know, taking a wide step to get on the outside and being able to get around him. And so now, and then I became a better player. And I still to this day, when I think, if someone said to me, what do you remember that made you a good player? And I would say, that made me a good player.
Right.
Wow. That one incident made me a good player.
Yeah.
But that's like you're talking about, where you get a kid that's at a lower level, you know, sophomore in high school, whatever, and he just doesn't, and you teach him something that he can carry with him the rest of the time. It's significant to him.
Oh,
and look, significant to me. I've done a lot of things in this game, and I'm talking to these guys about that play when I was a senior in high school.
Jake Rudock, he's a backup quarterback of the Detroit Lions now. I had him as a freshman at St. Thomas, never played padded football in his life. Always played flag football growing up. I put in half of the offense I had at Pitt, half of the offense I had in the Canadian Football League, kind of like run and shoot stuff. And he said, you know what? He goes, Coach, that helped me as I went along because Iowa didn't do a whole lot. And then we went to Michigan, did a little bit more.
Yeah.
But then I went to the pros, and there was a lot, it's all the same principles. It's all about spacing.
Yeah.
It's all about this. But you taught me that at a young age, and I just got better coaching I went along to advance the stuff that kind of was there.
Yeah, but the basis, the fundamentals.
Yeah.
So all makes a difference. So, yeah. Twitter at, Namrys Disp. Huh?
Better ask Joe how he would pronounce that. That might not be French.
I always see names like that. I wonder if maybe it's
no, just call him Dispy.
Maybe it's something dirty out there.
No, it's Dispy.
See there,
Dispy.
Go.
What's up?
Nam or Dispy, whatever. Right? I know you can't see much, but who has surprised you guys the most so far? Well, you with that freaking name has just surprised me so far. Dispy, whatever.
I like that, Joe.
Dispy. Don't Dispy me.
I don't know. I'm. You get. Don't get me wrong. I didn't go to. I didn't see any of the practices, to be honest with you, but because I just don't, to me, watching OTAs and watching minicamp, to me, you know, I just don't put a whole lot of stock into it. And the reason I don't put a whole lot of stock in it, I remember playing in games, Joe, late in the season, and John, where you're playing, you know, you're playing the Jets on a Monday night, and whoever wins is going to win the AFC East, right? And I remember being out there, I remember being on the field at times going, remember those stupid freaking mini camp practices? I go, they don't mean shit right
nothing,
now.
Right, you know? Right.
Right now they don't mean anything. So I kind of.
I'll give Dispy a couple things that I saw.
Yeah.
I think the wide receiver unit as a group has a lot of depth.
Yeah.
I think Balazs, the running back, is a freak. If he gets it down, he can really help with Gore and Kenyon. And in the back end, I think that it's going to be funny how they use who's going to establish himself at the corner opposite X.
Yeah.
Opposite Xavier Howard.
Yeah.
That'll be something to watch during training camp.
Lippitt, Tankersley, which guy could it be in that group?
Do they kick Bobby out sometimes Minka down?
That's
you know, for certain schemes, certain teams, not all the time.
Yeah.
But how that evolves on the defensive side.
I'm with you.
It's funny because in the secondary that you talk about that because, you know, I think they've certainly got more depth now than they've had in the last couple of years, but they've also got more position flexibility. You look, they bring in Minka. Minka can play safety, he can play corner, he can play slot, he can do all the different things. Now you got Bobby. Bobby can play slot. Bobby can play outside. You know, Lippitt's the same way. He can play different way. So they not only do they have more depth of quality players, you talk about Tank and X on the other side. I mean, you got a lot of good players in that secondary now, but you also got with those guys that flexibility. You can play three three safeties at some point. And I think we're going to see a lot of times where you may see all three go, you know, TJ, Rashad, and Minka all
you
out
might.
There in some kind of a coverage formation.
I think Fitzpatrick's
one linebacker
gonna end up being a cover guy in the slot. I do. I think when they go dime and people go four wide, I'm not gonna be surprised to see him up in the slot covering.
And look at the wideouts. You've got now Jakeem is your fifth guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's battling.
Oh no, it's 1-5. It's solid. And I said that this morning. 1-5. Has got veteran guys, and I'll tell you, for the rest of those guys, you feel bad because you sound like it. I said,
because they're making
there's
plays.
An injury.
Yeah, they're making
the
plays.
One,
who
two,
can
five
we hide?
Pretty well.
Who can we keep if something were to happen?
Yeah.
Because you've got Scott on the outside. You've got a bunch of guys
Morgan,
out there.
All those guys.
Yeah, Lewis is out there. Morgan, yeah.
See, here's a kid, Morgan. This is a kid, Morgan, that made the team last year. And he was one of those guys you just couldn't get rid of because every time he did, he smart kid, knows what he's doing. But he's going to be a monkey wrench in that thing. He's going to make himself be known.
Well, he's
Carew's got to figure a way to make
Isaiah
himself
Ford.
Be known.
You Ford, keep going down the line. There's some talented
you look,
guys.
Though, and 1-5, if there's no injury,
no
they're
question,
they're going to be on that 53-man roster.
Yeah,
no question.
Brandon James, we already talked about this. He comes in on Facebook. What do you guys consider our deepest position on the team? I think the secondary, to me, has got to be, you know, with all those guys back there, receiver position.
Running back, the three running backs.
I like offensive line, too.
Yeah, offensive line. So, it's nice to be able to find, you know, to start saying we got
depth.
Depth. Jonathan Axe Brzezinski from Facebook. I would have rather had DeMarco Murray over Gore, but Gore is local, so I get the decision. I think Gore, to me, brings a lot more to the table than just Frank Gore. He brings a guy that's really established as a high-end football player that's done it for a long time. He doesn't mind being a mentor to these guys. He's going to work hard. He's going to show you all the things. DeMarco Murray, I'm not as, you know, as knowledgeable about DeMarco and some of his personality traits, but I think you couldn't get a better, from a personality standpoint, a guy that's going to help your team and help other guys in that room. I just don't know how you do better than Frank Gore.
They want Frank Gore is a workout machine, man. He's in his mid-30s, and he just keeps himself in great shape and wants to be great. They want those young guys to see that every day.
Yeah. And I like what Adam said about him best. He saw him 11 years ago, saw him 2 months ago. The guy hadn't changed.
Same way. No doubt. Which, by the way, I remember when he got drafted to the 49ers, and I believe that's where he went to the 49ers
first. Yeah,
I remember calling a buddy of mine and said, hey, I said, you got this guy Frank Gore. I said, he's unbelievable. I said, he had two knee injuries
before
at the University of Miami that If he had not had those injuries, I said before he had those injuries, the best running back I've ever seen, maybe.
He was unbelievable his freshman year.
Man.
Couldn't wait for blowout, so they put him in.
I know.
He was averaging 10 to 12 yards a carry. But so this guy had two
ACL in each knee.
Two horrendous knee injuries. And I was telling the guy, I said, look, I don't know how he's going to be at the pro level because he's had these two knee injuries, but he was great here. And shoot, he went on to have a Hall of Fame type of career.
That was the greatest thing about those UM days back then, because the starter, everybody said, oh, this guy's great. You should see the guy behind him. And it went like that way for about six years.
There were no great runs.
Portis, McGahee,
Edgerrin James.
Yeah,
it just kept
all
going.
All those guys. Man.
One of those guys would start, and they go, wait to see the guy coming behind him.
Yeah, exactly.
Davenport.
Yeah.
You see a blowout, and all of a sudden, this guy, who the hell is that guy? You know?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Best high school running back I ever seen. Out of Coral Gables High School.
No doubt.
Frank
pretty
was
good.
Ridiculous.
El Chapo Jr., to close it up from Facebook, how much does it affect the scouting of a player when they can't wear pads in practice? Since the new age of practices and stuff like that, I believe that if you're an offensive lineman, you have very little chance of getting in this league if you're not a draft pick or you don't have something extra special going on. Because if you're an offensive or defensive lineman, when do you get to show off?
Back-to-back practices.
If you're an offensive lineman, you may never get to go live more than 10 times during all of training camp and preseason games.
Because the only time you're going, you better be balling.
Nowadays, look, even when they put on pads in practice, you still aren't going live.
No.
The only time you're going live is on those preseason games, and you're an offensive lineman trying to make is a physical. I just don't see how they, you know, the
it's tough.
Yeah, the chances of being that guy that comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, the Ernie, you know, I talk to Nat every time he brings up Ernie Rohn. Ernie Rohn is a undrafted free agent out of Henderson, Arkansas State, and goal line drill one time. Some guy tries to go over the top, blew him off, knocked his helmet back to where the coaches are standing, and all of a sudden everyone goes, hey, who is that guy?
Yeah.
And he ends up being a starting middle linebacker for us, you know, after he comes as a free agency. And he's not able to make that hit. He ain't making this team, you know. And so those guys miss out on their chances in today's day and age of the way they practice.
Yeah, that evaluation for linemen so difficult because you can see one-on-one on the outside if a guy can cover, you know. But when pads come on, how many would they wear pads? Five times?
That's
six times?
I wasn't exaggerating. That fourth preseason game,
like
a lot of guys played well against Minnesota in that last game. Fells threw the ball unbelievable. Yeah. Allen at linebacker had more than a dozen tackles.
And that carries over.
Yeah, no doubt.
That carries over right now.
Well, because look, those coaches, as soon as they get in the plane, they're starting to look at roster numbers. And, you know, the freshest thing in your mind is that last game.
That's right.
You know, and so some of these guys take advantage of it. All right, Tay, we've got to wrap it up. I want to thank Jeff and Logan for kind of getting us going through this thing.
What about Leon?
No, I was getting to Leon.
Oh, okay.
So these guys here, so we've been doing this, we did this podcast. And Leon, have you guys seen Leon around lately?
No, we never seen him.
Witness protection program.
Yeah, I think so. I thought maybe he got traded to another team. But anyway, he's still here. But you know, Jeff did a good job. You know, Logan always gets things going.
Yeah.
I'm watching, you know, I kind of been keeping an eye on Leon over here. He's been on his phone, texting. I think he got a new girlfriend.
Did you notice Leon had a new rinse?
He must be out on the prowl. We're going to end this show right now.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
You've run him right out of here.
We'll
way to go, Bo.
We'll catch up with you guys next week.